We're finishing up our series on Revelation today and talking about heaven a little bit today. But I got a little taste of heaven this week as I went with the Joy Club on Thursday. If you see that piece of apple pie there, that is called Mile High Apple Pie, and a big old scoop of ice cream with it, and I did a disappearing act, and it all disappeared on Thursday, but had a great time with our senior adults on Thursday as we hung out together, and then today we celebrate our graduates and all of our students who are coming to the end of their school year. You know, before the days of smartphones and the internet, we actually used to use something that looked like this, a phone book, right? Remember when we used to use phone books? Some of you who are not computer savvy may still be using phone books, but for the most part, if you need a number of a business or a residence anymore, you pretty much just click it into your smartphone or get it into the computer. But you know, as I had to dig and ask someone where the phone book was in the office this week, I looked, and you can look under the P's, and my name is there. It's actually listed as Buddy and Julie Perstrope, and I looked over, and Jerry's in there. And we used to say things like this: "Hey, you can call me. I'm in the book. All right, you can look my number up. I'm in the book." It was a record of our address and our phone number, our residence, that we were that we belonged in this city. Some other, you know, places that you may have had your name through the past, there's Who's Who. There is yearbooks that you've had. Then there's the good old faithful church directory. All these places that you have your name listed because you belong there. But there's one book that you don't want to miss your name being in. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to pick up in verse number 22. Revelation chapter 21, and we'll pick up in verse number 22. You can see in your pew Bibles, it's on page 723. But you can follow along as we look at the scripture. Keep your Bible open because we're going to be cruising through several different passages today as well. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 22. Remember, we just dealt the last 3 weeks with heaven. We looked at the beginning of Revelation 21, then the end of Revelation 21, then we looked at Revelation 22. Last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus is coming. But I want us to slide back and look at the book that we're talking about this morning. Here, he's describing heaven, the new heavens and new earth, Revelation 21, 22. "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Here, he has just described what the new heaven and new earth are going to be made of. And notice again, just to emphasize this, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And with that, let's pray. And God, I do ask that you would speak to us today and challenge us. Father, that our hearts would be in tune. God, I pray that each one of us would search our heart. And Lord, that we would be able to recall that moment when our name was registered. And if not, God, I pray today that there be a man or a woman or a student that would say, "Look, I know I need my name in that book today," and that they'd receive Jesus in your name. Amen. Those last words of verse number 27, Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we think about our graduates, and not only our graduates, but all of our students, as they come to the end of the school year, they have reached a milestone in their life. Our graduates in particular, now they're moving on to a new life. Our folks, as they head to a new college and a new setting, and they make new friends, and they get new freedoms, and they have new opportunities. Graduates, over the next few weeks, as you step onto a college campus, you're going to find a newfound freedom that you have not had while you have lived under your parents' wings. There's going to be decisions that come into your life that you, for the first time, are going to be on your own to make it. For those of you who have moved on to that next grade, some of you from elementary to middle or from middle to high school, you come to that point where there's increasing freedom. As you get a little bit older, there's more responsibility that comes. And with the newness of life, there is always new opportunity, new decisions, new responsibilities. But instead of looking at something new today, I want to go back and look at something old. Something as old as salvation itself. For what we find here in Revelation chapter 21, as it is described throughout other passages of the New Testament and referred to in the Old Testament as well, is a book. It is a book that God keeps. It is a book that God keeps that is a registry. It shows who those are who are going to go and belong in heaven. Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I want us to ask some questions dealing with this book as we think about, are you in the book? And as we ask these questions, hopefully we'll be able to picture what it is and make sure that we're there. And as believers, find the motivation that comes with being in the book, if you indeed are. So what is the Lamb's Book of Life? What is this book that is referred to in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 27? It is a book that records the names of genuine believers who have received salvation through Jesus Christ alone. That's what this book is. It is referred to in the Old Testament in passages like Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3, Malachi chapter 3, and verse number 16. It is emphasized in the New Testament, some passages that we'll look at in just a few moments, in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 3, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 23. But throughout the book of Revelation in particular, this book shows a census and a line of demarcation of those who enter into heaven and those who do not. Take your Bibles and look with me in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. If you have Revelation open, just slide back just a couple of chapters. In Revelation chapter 13, it's talking about the Antichrist, the beast, and those who in the tribulation period begin to worship him. And it says, in Revelation 13, 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now look over in Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 8. The beast, again talking about the Antichrist, that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Look over in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. These initial books that are opened are the books that are the records of our lives. God writes down and records what we do in our life. It would be a divine DVD from birth to death of all that we have done in our life, whether good or bad. So as they stand before the judgment, the books are open, but it doesn't stop there. It says that they were standing before God and the books were open, and another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. Then look over in verse number 15 of Revelation chapter 20. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Then the book, the chapter that we just read, chapter 21, verse number 27. See, he talks about the new heaven and new earth. Only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. There is a challenge. And the challenge laid out in Scripture is, are you in the book? Throughout Revelation in particular, 13:8, 17:8, 20:12, 20:15, 21:27, it shows that this line is made of those who are in the book and those who are not in the book. See, the picture is that many have is that, man, if I can just be good enough, I'm going to get to heaven. If I can do enough good things, and yet the Bible doesn't record that good things get you to heaven. It's being in the Lamb's book of life. So what is the Lamb's book of life? It is that record. It is the record of believers. It is a census of heaven. Just as you are registered in St. Charles County, those of you who live in the county and in a city, as a citizen of the United States, if you are indeed one, you are recorded in the registry. Most important, as Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20 challenges us, is your citizenship also in heaven. What is the Lamb's book of life? It's that record. It's the name of all those who belong on God's team. But the next question is well, if that is the record book, then how do I get into that book? I mean, if God has a record book of those who are going to enter into heaven, how do I get into this book? Revelation has shown us that there are two types of people, those who are in the book, those who are not in the book. So how do I get in the book? How do I sign up? How do I get registered? I will tell you, by joining a Baptist church, Lutheran church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church, Assembly of God church, Pentecostal church, that is not signing up for heaven. All right? Going through and being sprinkled as a baby, being baptized, that doesn't sign you up in order to go to heaven. Going to Sunday school or giving money, though you may give money and we have a record of that and we send you a tax statement at the end of the year, that is not your ticket to get into heaven. God doesn't put you on the roll because of that. How do I get into heaven? Notice what it says at the end of that verse 27. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book, the Lamb. The Lamb. How do I get into heaven? By personally trusting in the resurrection and death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and personally receiving Him is one allowed into heaven. Jesus is the only way. It is called the Lamb's book of life for a reason. It's not called your good book, your book of good works. It is not called your book of giving. It is not called your book of attendance. You might get stars on your little wall for attending JAM downstairs, children's worship, or Sunday school, but God doesn't put stars on heaven to allow us to get into heaven through attendance. Instead, it is trusting Jesus alone. It is trusting in the death and resurrection. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain for us. Here's the picture. The picture is that because we have all thought things, said things, and done things that are imperfect, that are called sins in God's eyes, all of us are disqualified from a perfect heaven with a holy God. We're all disqualified. Not one of us will make it on our own. But Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, and He died on the cross to take the punishment for our sin, and He rose again so that we could freely receive the gift of eternal life and forgiveness. That's it. That is it. It is the Lamb's book of life because we get to heaven through the Lamb, through Jesus and His death and resurrection alone. When I played basketball several years ago on our school team and then watched other folks as they tried out for sports, it was one of these things that I don't know how they did it at your school, but you would get the list of those who tried out, and then the coach would begin to make cuts. And as he made cuts, he would take on his wall in the morning the list of those students who made the cut. And so when you were trying out for a sport, you were always anxious that next morning to get to school and to look to see if your name was on the list and that you made the cut through basketball or baseball or whatever sport it may be. It was getting to the coach's door with this sense of anxiety and this sense of nervousness and wondering if you made it or not. And you'd get to the coach's door and wow, it was always a relief if your name was there. And oftentimes there would be a second cut or a third cut if there were enough students that tried out, and you'd rush and get there and look on coach's door in the morning to see whether you made the cut or not. That might work in sports where we rely on ability and attitude in order to make a team. But in heaven, God's looking for faith. That's what he's looking for. Pure and simple faith. Amen. Trusting in what Jesus has done alone. That's it. It's not about us. It's about him. So how do I get in this book? I trust Jesus alone. But then as I think about really this book, okay, you know, it's a record book. And I get into it through trusting Jesus. But as a believer, if I know I'm in the book, or I believe I'm in the book, then what motivation does it bring to my life as well? Notice again, Revelation 21, 27 says, only those who are written in that book. Only those. How do I get into it? But why is it important? Why is this book of life so important? Well, this book of life is really, really important. It is the only book that is going to record those who get into heaven or not. So you would think if you are interested in eternity, in heaven versus hell, God versus Satan, that you would want to be in this book. Why is it so important? Well, as I think about that this morning, I want to challenge you. Are you sure you're in that book? Because I think that book was given to us to make sure in our life. And to make certain that we are registered in heaven. This is gut check and heart check time. It really should be a time of reflection in our life. And I think, has there truly been a time when I have trusted Jesus alone as the only way to get to heaven? Am I certain if I died today, I would go to heaven? I tell you, I wouldn't want to drive out on 70 or 270 not knowing it. I wouldn't want to enter into these public places where there are random acts of violence that take place if I didn't know that. I want to make certain that I am in that book because only those whose names are written in the book are allowed. Notice back up at a passage we just looked at the end of Revelation chapter 20 in verse number 15. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now listen, you may be of a theological persuasion that you don't believe in heaven and hell. I will tell you upon the authority of Scripture, God does. And your opinion really doesn't matter much compared to his. And so the reality is, if your name's not in the book, you enter into the lake of fire forever. But at the end of the passage we just looked at, if our name is written in that book of life, then we enter into a new heaven and a new earth. So it's time to make sure in our life. Have I just been playing a religious game, going to church, doing the stuff, or has Jesus really changed my heart? And listen, if there's not a heart change, it doesn't make any difference what reformation you tried to make on the outside if there's not been a transformation on the inside. If Jesus comes in, it makes a difference in our life. And if he's not making a difference in our life, then you have to ask yourself the question, is he really there? Is my name in the book? So the challenge of our life is, I need to look. I need to make sure. I need to make it certain. I would rather someone say, look, I want to just nail this decision down and already have trusted Christ 35 years ago and just make that commitment and be sure of that, rather than someone who said, man, I looked and I thought I made a decision when I was 7 years old, and they step into eternity without the Lord. Yeah. Listen, make certain you are in the book. But there's a second reason, and I think it's a motivating reason for us as believers. And that is that we are to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. If you have your Bible, look back to the Gospels at Luke chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke chapter 10. And Jesus in Luke chapter 10 sends his disciples off, and they go out and they begin to witness, and they begin to see God do some great things. And it is awesome and wonderful, and they come back excited, and they come back thrilled and filled with joy. And in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse number 17, it says that the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Lord, man, we were able to go in your power and cast out demons and do works. And God, it was awesome and wonderful. And Jesus, man, we're giving each other high fives and we're patting each other on the back and we're thinking about how great our preaching is." And then Jesus brings them back down to reality. He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Guys, I've seen things like this. "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless," when Jesus says nevertheless, you need to pay attention. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You know what the greatest joy is? It is a great joy to go out and to invest in ministry. It is a great joy to live life and impact people. But you know what the greatest joy? Knowing our name is written in heaven. Let me talk to you students and young adults just for a moment. As you embark on this challenge of college and work life, you are going to experience such great joys. I mean, there are going to be awesome times. You're going to make new friends, and there's going to be joys of school, and there's joys of accomplishment as you make it through a test. And there's going to be joys of your first job. For some of you, there will be the joys of marriage. For some of you, there will be the great joys of having children. Some of the greatest joys, as these adults around you can attest, some of the greatest joys are yet in front of you. But can I tell you, as you get a job, and as you get married, and as you have children, some of the greatest challenges and sorrows lay before you. Because we get excited about that first job, and we're not there a couple days, and we realize, wow, this is a lot of stress. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot going on. There were things we didn't know. You walk down the aisle with this beautiful girl or with this handsome man, and you think, man, we're just going to live in marital bliss. What are you all laughing about? We go in with this expectation that thinks, man, I'm just going to get married. The stress of dating and the stress of looking are over, and this is just going to be wonderful and awesome. And it is the hardest, hardest thing you ever do. And then you have kids. And your kids, you know, they're first just constantly on your mind and in your attention, and you're changing diapers. Then they start to walk, and not long behind that, they run, and then they go to school, and then they get older. You experience sickness, sometimes financial strain and struggle that comes with that. Sometimes you experience, and if you live long enough, all of us will experience death. We'll bury grandparents and parents, and maybe we'll have that horrific moment of burying a child or a grandchild. But through all the ups and downs of life, there's two things you need to know. Jesus loves me. This I know. And you need to know my name's in the book. That's what you need to know. I mean, you need to know that. If you know that, you can make it through. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to start a series on the Lord is my shepherd. We're going to look at Psalm 23. And if I can know that Jesus loves me and he's with me and walks with me and he gives me strength to make it, and I know that if I step off of this planet Earth as I know it and enter into eternity, if I know Jesus loves me for now and eternity and I know my name's in the book, I can take that next step. I can live by faith and keep pressing through. There will be many challenges that come. Rejoice. If you can find nothing else to rejoice in today, rejoice. Jesus loves me. My name's in the book. That's something to rejoice in. Third thing, we make certain we're registered in heaven. We rejoice because our name's in heaven. Thirdly, this book is important because it challenges us to get to work in ministry. This book challenges to work so that others can get to heaven. If you have your Bibles, look over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 3. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and I'll read it quickly. It says, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel." So Paul says, look, church, you come alongside. There's some ladies who are busy about ministry. They are laboring in the gospel. You get busy and you start working too. They are laboring with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What does he say? Those who are working had their names in the book because they were concerned that the gospel be shared with others around us. Listen, it is important that if your name is in the book, you help someone else get their name in the book. It is important that we invest our time, our energy, our effort, we invest our finances so that people can have their name put down in the book. It is important that we live our life as we walk in our neighborhood, where we work, where we play, where we hang out. It is important that we in our life get busy and go to work and we share and we care and we serve and we love and we teach and we get involved so others can get their name in the book. I urge you among with these fellow women and Clement also, these who are laboring in the gospel, whose names are written in the book of life. You know, he could have said, boy, you guys go to work with the rest of these folks whose names are on the roll at the church of Philippi. He could have said, boy, it's important for you to work because you know Jesus. But Paul drives home the illustration that says you work because your name is written in the book of life. If your security for eternity is because you've trusted Jesus and your name's in the book, don't you think it's important that we help others get their name in the book? That we look at our life and we look at our investment and we look at what we're doing with our time and we say, God, I want to have a part in people coming to have their name in the book. You say, buddy, I can't preach. I can't lead music. I can't teach a class. Well, let me tell you what happened last Sunday. I preached Jesus is coming, and I went downstairs and just crossed the hall, checked on Laurie in preschool, and realized we were a couple preschool teachers short. So took my jacket off, rolled my sleeves up, grabbed a book, sat down with some kids, and for the next hour, I labored in the gospel with two-year-olds. Listen, for those of you who are involved in preschool and children's ministry, thank you. That is a labor that is in the gospel that's important. And let me just say this as well. We believe in the importance of teaching God's word. So we offer children every week when they come, they have a Bible study lesson. They're cared for and taught during the worship time. They can come back on Sunday nights during the school year, and they can learn how to do ministry through music with preschool and children and student choir. On Wednesday night, we come back and we see boys and girls who are learning verses all the way from age 2 up through 5th grade, 6th grade. And they're learning verses and hiding God's word in their heart. And some of you are investing your time in the Awana ministry. And then some of you are with our students over at the Q. Listen, it is important. We're investing hours and hours every week in the lives of our children. And I just challenge you. Look at what other churches are investing around us in the lives of children. Are they investing hours on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night to make sure that the Bible is taught? And if we're going to do it and do it well, we've got to have some laborers in the gospel who are going to roll up their sleeves and get to work. Right. It's important. Yeah. It's important. Listen, if there's two things that are going to last forever, the word of God, Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, and the souls of men. And we want to invest in the word of God and the souls of men. And as we invest in the souls of men, we want their name in the book. That's the goal. That's the goal of our life. That's the heartbeat of everything that we do. We want to work so others can get involved. So that others can get to heaven. I want to challenge you. At 11 o'clock, we want to start having preschool Sunday school teachers every week, just like we have in your adult classes, just like we have in our student ministry classes and our children's classes. They have consistent teachers at 11 o'clock. We want to start that in our preschool ministry. We don't want to rotate at 11 o'clock. We want people to invest and say, man, I'm going to take this on as a ministry. You don't have to sign up till Jesus comes, but would you sign up for a year and say, look, I can do this. Yep. I know some of you, you're afraid, man, if I do this, kind of like when I started bus ministry, man, you either have to move or die to get out, all right? Listen, we're looking for a year. Would you make a commitment and just say, look, I'll do it because I want to labor in the gospel. You say, what is sitting down with a 2-year-old, how does that make a difference in the gospel? Well, first off, you can show them Jesus' love. And just like I did last week and showing the book of David and Goliath and covering up that bear and say, whoa, cover that bear up. He's scary. Don't look at him, you know. Invest in their life and show them love. But you know what? While you're doing that, there's a parent somewhere who's getting taught God's word so that they'll be better equipped for this week, so that they'll be able to take the truth of the gospel to where they work, live, and play every week. Okay? All right. It's important. It's important to work so that others can get to heaven. Fourthly, we think about this. It is important to remain focused. The Book of Life challenges us to remain focused on heaven and eternity, not just the things of earth. Why does God reiterate this book throughout Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament? Why does He bring it up? He brings it up to challenge us in the fact that, look, your name's written down in heaven. And as I shared last night on Facebook, and a couple of you saw it and some of you didn't, it's the truth is here. Listen, you are not primarily a citizen of earth who is one day going to go to heaven. Theologically, that is completely wrong. Instead, you are, as a believer, a citizen of heaven, and you are just passing through the earth. Quit holding on to everything so tight. Instead, say, Lord Jesus, I want to remain focused on heaven and eternity. And there's going to be that place, as Revelation 21 picks up, hey, there's going to be no temple there. There's going to be no need for light. The glory of God is going to be the light. The Lamb is going to illuminate this place. You're going to get to experience this place called heaven. On November the 24th, 2009, there was a state dinner that President Obama hosted for the Prime Minister of India, Prime Minister Singh. Most of us don't remember who the dinner was for or anything about it, except we do remember this. Mikhail and Tariq Salahi were party crashers, and they got in through Secret Service, and you can see their picture with the president. They had their picture with the vice president. They got in uninvited. They slipped somehow through all of the Secret Service, and they got into this party. And afterwards, it was a big blow up in the news. And Mark Sullivan, who was the director of the Secret Service, said that he took full responsibility and he deeply regretted it. And it was a complete mistake, and they were embarrassed. I will tell you, As hard as it is and as challenging as it is, you may be able to slip into a White House dinner or somewhere where you're not invited. But I will tell you one place you will not slip in. You will not slip into eternity if your name's not in the book. So the question is your name in the book? And if it is, what are you doing about it?